It's hard to ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways. And one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a really tempting hero origin way to start the story of Jessica Sanchez. It goes something like this. There are some people who just seem born to be stars. Jessica had that kind of beginning. She grew up in Chula Vista, the daughter of Mexican and Filipino parents. Her mother says she started singing as soon as she could talk. Jessica entered her first singing competition when she was 7. At 10, she made it onto the very first season of America's Got Talent. At 16, onto American Idol. She became a hometown icon, one that people here were cheering for. After that, it's easy to imagine how the story unfolds. A rising star, fame, success. But as we know, it's rarely that simple.
Being 10 years old and being 16 years old on these big stages, you're like, all you see is like the spotlight and you're like, oh my gosh, I could win Grammys and go and do tours and sell out stadiums. But I think I lost the feeling of why I was doing this.
Jessica was molded into a musical prodigy, but as quickly as she rose, everything began to unravel. Today, the real story of San Diego's very own Jessica Sanchez. What drove her to the point of leaving music behind, and what did it take to come back? From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans.
Powerful people can abuse their position, and the community expects them to be held accountable. That's where the KPBS Investigations team comes in. If you have a tip for us, send an email to investigations@kpbs.org or message on the Signal app at 619-594-8177.
To understand Jessica's story, you have to understand the place where it started, San Diego's South Bay, specifically Chula Vista and National City. KPBS reporter Corey Suzuki covers the South Bay. He and our producer Anthony went to see it for themselves. Corey takes it from here.
So we are outside Seafood City in National City. It's evening. But pretty bright because of all of the light coming from inside the grocery store.
It's a little chilly. Pretty busy.
We're standing at the entrance to a supermarket in Bay Plaza, Seafood City. It's a major gathering place full of hot comfort food and staple groceries just off the 805 and Orange Avenue. It's actually where Jessica says she had some of her first performances as a kid.
Do you have a second? My name's Corey. I'm a reporter at KPBS. This is my coworker,
KPBS,
Anthony.
Yeah.
This area is the anchor of one of the largest Filipino communities in the country.
This area, National City, and the community, like, what does it mean to you?
I mean, I like the Filipino representation. Like, it feels there's a lot of diversity out here.
It's like when you're with someone and you haven't like met them yet, but they're Filipino, it's like you're like really close to them already.
Most of our classmates are Filipino, so we got used to it.
Most people we run into are busy, carrying grocery bags and pushing carts. But a surprising number of people do stop and talk with us. The biggest thing that comes through is a sense of pride, of a feeling that everyone here is rooting for each other, for people here to show the world what they have to offer.
South Bay is like known to be like an underdog community, right?
And I think we actually produce a lot of beautiful and strong things.
Standing here in the light of the grocery store, it's almost possible to picture what it would have looked like to an 8 or 9 year old Jessica Sanchez 20 years ago, walking through the doors, getting ready for one of her first performances.
Do you happen to know who Jessica Sanchez is?
The singer?
Oh, yeah,
the
singer? Yeah.
She's the young one.
Yeah.
From here.
I love her voice. Like, she's very talented. She's like, wow, you know? I just brought us back in the map.
From the beginning, Jessica was making music. She says she would sing in the kitchen, in the living room, anywhere there was a karaoke machine.
Because, you know, every Filipino family has a karaoke machine. I remember one time I left, like, the door open, and I was just belting, and the neighbors came by, and they're like, who is that singing?
Jessica's mom encouraged her to start singing early.
I grew up, you know, with more of, like, my Filipino side, and I feel like the Filipino culture in San Diego is very strong. But really, I started, like, performing in front of, like, my friends and family when I was, like, 5 years old.
For Filipinos, from cradle to grave, you will always be exposed to music.
That's Ana Maria Labao Cabato, the executive director of PSACIT, San Diego's oldest Philippine performing arts organization. She's describing something she's heard other cultural arts experts say. Ana often sees the same thing.
Every child has to take some kind of a music class, either a piano or you learn singing. And especially with the development of the karaoke machine, all the kids were taught to sing.
That's what Jessica did. She loved R&B and Beyonce. When she was 7, her mom started entering her into competitions all around the South Bay.
I even did like a mini concert, I think at Eastlake Middle School. I did like a Seafood City competition, I think in National City, and a couple other ones. I definitely made my rounds around San Diego.
Jessica didn't always like being the center of attention. She was shy. Sometimes she would stare at the floor while she performed so she wouldn't have to look at anyone. But she could sing.
I've been doing these local competitions and I've actually been like winning every single one.
Jessica was also gaining confidence with each performance. When her mom told her that a new national music show was coming to town, she remembers feeling ready.
So I was like, oh yeah, like this is gonna be great. I'm gonna win this one.
The show? The very first season of America's Got Talent.
The most remarkable talent search in history.
When she entered the competition, Jessica was 10 years old.
Hi, my name is Jessica Sanchez. I'm from San Diego.
In her first interview, she's wearing a white Aloha shirt with pink flowers and a sideways camo hat. She dedicates the performance to her dad, who was deployed overseas.
My dad is in Iraq. He's in the Navy. And I really miss him. I wish he could be right here with me right now.
The stage, both the physical one and the one broadcast across the country, was the biggest she had ever performed on. And Jessica didn't look like the shy little kid who stared at the floor. She walked right up to the judges as she finished the song. The audience leapt to its feet. She made it to the semifinals. But eventually, the judges made their decision. She was out.
I try my best.
You did a great job, and I like the way you told
me. I was completely devastated. I was just in tears. A 10-year-old that, like, had been winning all of these local competitions, like, you know, get slapped with reality. In an instant, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I feel like I am able to do this if I work at it and if I continue to fight for this and see where it takes me.
Jessica tried everything she could. She auditioned for other reality TV singing competitions like The X Factor. Her mom helped her get on YouTube, where she posted covers of Beyonce and Bruno Mars from her bedroom. When I see your face. Some went viral, but none led to a breakthrough. Then Jessica and her mom were watching another TV singing competition.
He's the next American Idol.
American Idol, when they heard an announcement.
At the end of the show, they were like, we're going to come to San Diego for auditions for next season. And me and my mom were like, oh my gosh, this is our chance.
Jessica was 16. She auditioned at Petco Park.
You made me feel so good inside.
Good inside. And I just...
Jessica captivated the judges and the country. She made it to the second round, then the third.
Everybody is feeling the heat, including our youngest contestant from San Diego, Jessica Sanchez.
I was an American Idol fan for years. And so I remember her. She just looked kind of like picture perfect.
Back home, everyone was watching, including Anna. Jessica sounded great, but Anna felt like something was missing.
There's a difference between when you perform for yourself and you share from your heart what this gift is versus I have a talent and I'm going to perform. I mean, we observe it here at Pasaka, the same thing. We want them to feel the soul of the dance rather than saying, okay, we teach you these movements over and over again, but get to the soul and the heart of the dance. So in a way, I felt that Jessica was more on the performance side. She looked great. She sounded great. She had a powerful voice, but there was probably something missing.
Still, Jessica made it all the way to the final two.
The winner of American Idol Season 11 is Philip Phillips.
I was so close to winning. I came in second, which is huge, being 16 years old. I cannot believe how far I made it on that show. That was crazy.
Jessica had lost another competition. But this time, she had won something, too. Her breakout moment. That summer, she signed her first record deal. She performed the national anthem for Memorial Day on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol and for an NBA Finals game in Oklahoma City.
Oh, say, can you see?
I was able to do all of these great, amazing things and events and meet all these great people.
In many ways, it was everything she had been working towards. But it also wasn't quite what she had imagined.
I got lost in it all. And I started really doubting myself. And this was kind of like where it was a downhill road for me.
What happens when the dream wants to change you? That's after the break.
On KPBS Midday Edition, we're connecting communities through conversations. You'll hear truth around the leading issues and the leading controversies with historical context, along with perspectives that keep you informed, inspired, and make you think. Listen to the Midday Edition podcast wherever you get your podcast.
So, Jessica left home. She moved to Los Angeles with a record deal and dreams of launching a career. She began working on her own music.
I went and did an album, my first debut album, which is Me, You, and the Music with Interscope.
This album is filled with that distinct sound of early 2010s pop. She even has a track called Tonight featuring three-time Grammy Award winner Ne-Yo. Things were off to a strong start. But moving from a smaller community like San Diego South Bay to L.A. was a little overwhelming.
L.A. is just, there's so much going on and there's so many big dreams and so many people chasing after, the same thing. You can get really lost.
And other people weren't just chasing their own dreams. A lot of people around Jessica also seemed to have their own ideas about her and what she should be doing. Some told her what she could and couldn't sing. Others tried to dictate how she should dress.
And I'm not talking about just people in comments on YouTube and stuff like that, but people that are in higher positions in the industry that have told me, like, hey, you can't do this because you're Asian or you're Mexican, or you should do this because you're a woman and women usually sell better if you do this. I remember guys that were like managers or like producers and stuff like that would tell me, like, oh, like, you know, we could see you being like this sexy Asian girl, you know, and I'm just like, this is really weird that you're like trying to put me in this like box.
Even when it made her uncomfortable, Jessica felt pressured to do what they said. She was still just a kid.
I was 16 years old. You know, I didn't have like a sense of like foundation within myself of like, oh no, these are my morals and this is what I stand for.
Anna says young artists, especially young women of color, often face these pressures.
Because sometimes as a young person, you don't know how to process what's being thrown at you. So you just do what you're asked to do. Because who are you to question authority and elders?
In 2015, Anna and Jessica's paths crossed for the first time. Anna and other Filipino community leaders were planning a celebration for the 100th anniversary of Balboa Park. They invited Jessica to come home and perform. The concert went well, Anna remembers. But from the outside, it felt like Jessica was kept at a distance, almost like she wasn't really there.
I didn't even get to meet her. And I was one of the co-chairs of the whole event. The interaction was with another person who contacted the manager. So it was like three people away. You're in and out, and I guess that's the way they kind of have you.
Anna's instincts were right. Something was off. To everyone else, it seemed like things were going great for Jessica. But on the inside, Jessica says it felt like things were falling apart.
I was going through a lot with, you know, my finances, with my career, with my family. Like, everything was just like a downward spiral. I started really doubting myself. I don't know if I can do this. I really want to do this. I love music and I want to become a performer and a singer. But I don't know if I can do that. I feel like if I stayed in the industry and I did the things that I didn't want to do, I feel like people would recognize that there wasn't authenticity.
But Jessica also wondered, what would it mean if she left music behind? For so long, it felt like her identity and her voice were one and the same. If she stopped singing, what would that say about who she was? Jessica decided to take some time off. It was 2017, 5 years since her run on American Idol. She had a show coming up in San Diego, a chance to step back from the LA scene and spend some time at home.
And so I told myself, okay, I should go back home to San Diego and take a break from all of this.
The show was at Cornerstone Church in National City. Afterwards, Jessica got a DM on Instagram from a guy who had heard her sing and wanted to get coffee.
Actually, before he did that, he sent me a video on Instagram, him at the sound booth while I'm singing on stage. And he's like, I'm going to marry you one day. And typically, like, I wouldn't answer, like, you know, extreme stuff like that. Or like, I wouldn't just go on a date, you know, with somebody that I hadn't met. But I had this like feeling, and that's why I say it's a God thing. Like, okay, like, why not?
Jessica decided to take a chance. She hadn't been back to San Diego in a while, and she wanted to be around good people. She started hanging out with the admirer who had sent the message. His name was Ricky.
He really saw how broken I was as a person. I felt like my identity was set into like my voice as far as like what I do on stage. And I felt like since I was failing in my career, I was a failure as a person. And really, he has been there from the beginning of me searching for that purpose of why am I doing this?
Ricky helped Jessica slow down. He supported her as she stepped back from the music industry, as she searched for answers about who she was as an artist. He helped her deepen her connection to Christianity, which became the backbone for some of those questions. Eventually, they got married. Back in her hometown, away from Los Angeles, it seems like Jessica was feeling more like herself again, like she was beginning to find a new sense of purpose.
I feel like I've been doing this my whole life, and I feel stuck. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't, you know, like, I don't want to seek fame. I don't want to seek fortune. It hasn't brought me happiness. Like, this needs to be bigger than me. It needs to be bigger than the things that money can buy and being, you know, just on a platform just for my own glory and my own praise. Like, I need this to be something that's going to impact other people.
About 5 years ago, Ricky and Jessica moved to Houston. Jessica began experimenting with more personal songs, ones that had felt too vulnerable in the past.
I kind of opened up and I wrote a couple songs, and those songs didn't like do like too great. And so again, I was like, you know, am I doing something wrong? Like, I don't know if this is for me.
Jessica started thinking about whether it was time to move on from music altogether. Then she heard the news. America's Got Talent was back for its 20th season.
Welcome to AGT season 20!
2 decades after 10-year-old Jessica first appeared. It felt like a sign.
I kind of feel like there was this sense of peace of like, okay, I feel like it's been so many years and I feel at peace about kind of putting myself back out there. I wasn't really thinking about like what people would think of me coming back on a show or me failing. I was just like, you know what? I'm ready to just go out there and try again.
Jessica decided to audition for the show. But a few days later, she learned some even bigger news. She was pregnant.
I really questioned myself. I was like, okay, am I still going to do this? And I talked to God about it, and I was like, if this is what he wants, he'll make it happen. If not, then it won't happen.
Auditions and the first performances began early last year in Pasadena. Being in that room again brought memories flooding back.
And I was actually on the very first season of America's Got Talent.
What? That's amazing!
Oh, I was here like 20 years ago at 10 years old, and the feeling is like the same. Like the fire was inside of me again where I was like, I could do this, and I feel like I want to win this. Like I want it.
Jessica made it easily through auditions and the early rounds.
I mean, I really don't understand what happened in these 20 years, but I guess they were meant to be because this was a special moment, and I think that you deserve this.
Once again, San Diego tuned in to watch.
She came back. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of her. And she was pregnant. She was so cute and everything.
That just shows how much strength she has and motivation.
We were so excited because we knew her. So yeah, we're rooting for her.
Anna was watching too.
I just happened to stumble on AGT. I don't watch America's Got Talent very often, but I will, you know, pick up on some of it, especially when there's Filipinos.
For Anna, Jessica's return 2 decades later felt different.
The way she dressed. So in American Idol, she was like fancy dressed. And then for AGT, she came as herself.
For the quarterfinals, though, Jessica had to do her first performance on a live broadcast. But as the show got closer, her voice almost gave out. In the midst of her pregnancy, it felt like her body wasn't cooperating, like she was having to teach herself how to sing all over again. In her hotel room, Jessica remembers feeling scared.
I was like crying and trying, but also trying not to cry because then that it tightens your vocal cords. And so I'm like, what, you know, I want to cry, but I can't cry. Day after day. And I just told myself, you know, like, God's brought me this far and I need to walk by faith truly, even in the scariest moments. And I did. And my voice came out, thank God. And it was a great performance. It was a lot better than like the dress rehearsals.
That was spectacular. And America is loving you.
I am absolutely blown away because
Jessica advanced through the quarterfinals and semifinals. In late September, she reached the final round. She chose Die With a Smile by Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars, the same artist she grew up singing decades ago.
I was kind of like scrambling of like, okay, how am I going to make this my own rendition instead of it sounding like karaoke? But that song is, it is such a beautiful song, and kind of I poured out all of my emotions and like a mix of like grit, but also gentleness.
You can even hear it in her voice. It was so soulful, and it's like, you could sense that she knew who she was now.
AGT champion and the winner of $1 million is Jessica Sanchez! Jessica, you're the new AGT champion. How does that feel?
I'm sorry, I'm really emotional. This is amazing.
Back outside the supermarket in National City, people say watching Jessica's courage to come back, her renewed sense of purpose, and her win, it meant a lot to all of them.
During her performance, she put more emotions right now compared before. Yeah. She's like, she can conquer the world, you know?
She represented like Philippines and San Diego.
We're so proud, really, really proud of her. She's the star.
It's just cool to have somebody coming from National City, like, you know, where we're from.
Someone that came up from the neighborhood, that's a good thing.
It wasn't hard to find people that knew who Jessica was at Seafood City. Almost everyone knew her name. One mother was there with her daughters, both younger than Jessica was when she first appeared on American Idol. The mother knew Jessica well. She took out her phone to show the girls.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I was actually on the very first season of America's Got Talent.
What the heck?
Oh,
Martha.
She's a Filipino pride.
It was like we were seeing what Jessica had wanted all along in real time, for her story and voice to have an impact.
Well, what did you guys think when you just watched her?
Oh my god, that was so cool.
I liked her performance.
I like how she, her vocals, they go like in a certain way. It's like very cool because like people from our city is like rising, and it just shows like how we can have better opportunities too. Inspiration for like other kids. It took her 20 years to come back.
You want to do something big like she did?
I would. I would want to. Yeah. Yeah.
To Anna, Jessica's comeback is a testament to the artistry and importance of music in San Diego's Filipino diaspora. It shows how powerful it can be to have a place where you don't feel racialized or discriminated against, where you can be yourself.
There's so many Filipinos here, right? So you feel comfortable. I feel comfortable. It's as if I'm in the Philippines. And when you're comfortable and you have that sense of belonging, like I belong here, then you're able to flourish.
Jessica says she still carries parts of San Diego with her. That little girl, singing at Eastlake Middle School, staring at the floor so she wouldn't have to see anyone. That young woman lost in Hollywood, returning home to perform at Cornerstone Church.
I just want to say thank you again to everybody there. I love you guys so much. And every time I come back, you know, I hope to see familiar faces, new faces, and just give you guys the biggest hug and say thank you in person, because it's definitely carried me throughout.
One day, Jessica says, she'll come home for good.
That was Corey Suzuki, KPBS's South Bay and Imperial Valley reporter. Special thanks to Jessica Sanchez, Anna Maria Labau-Cabato, and to everyone at Seafood City for their help with this episode. And thank you so much for listening. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a rating, or comment. It makes a real difference and helps stories like these reach more people. Also, we print them out and read them out loud at our desks. Next week on The Finest, Nikita Samphal's sculptures are legendary in San Diego and across the world. We tell the story of her unlikely friendship with the man she depended on to help build and take care of them long after she's gone.
If you work with somebody like Nikki for so many years, this is also becomes like your family.
The Finest is a production of KPBS Public Media. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. Our producer is Anthony Wallace, who also composed the score. Our audio engineer is Ben Redlosk, and our editor is Chrissy Nguyen.
Hola friends, the Tijuana and San Diego borderlands are brimming with captivating stories of people whose lives are shaped by the connection between Mexico and the U.S. On the Port of Entry podcast, we delve into those stories. Listen to Port of Entry wherever you get your podcasts.